the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and Chris Prytower.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm Chris Prytower. On today's edition of Lifetime Income, we're going to be talking about the 401k, since it is the 40th anniversary of the 401k. So we're going to be talking about a strategy for your 401k that could potentially save you thousands in taxes. And in fact, we'll be specifically talking about something called net unrealized appreciation. It's more commonly referred to as an NUA. Now, under IRC 402, the IRS allows for a lump sum distribution from a qualified plan like a 401k into a taxable account.
Yeah, there's a lot of particulars that apply to this rule, Chris, and you have to be real careful. But in order to qualify for what is called a NUA, which is net unrealized appreciation, what you are doing is basically switching from, let's say, ordinary income taxes to long-term capital gains taxes. And this really applies to when you have, let's say, a company stock. Let's say you work for IBM or Exxon, and they have a 401k plan, and part of the money that's invested in your 401k plan is a company stock. So there are a whole bunch of special rules pertaining to this, but essentially what you're doing is you're going to take a distribution from your 401k plan. Let's say when you're retired, and we'll get to some more of those rules that where this applies, but let's say you're getting ready to retire, you're age 59 and a half, and I don't know, let's say you have $500,000 in your 401k plan, half of which is in company stock. And let's say that your cost basis in that stock, because when the stock went into the 401k plan, it had a price at that particular time, and that becomes your cost basis. What happens is when you take the money out of the plan, there's a way to convert that into what is called capital gains taxes. And the big thing about this, imagine paying, let's say, a capital gains tax rate of 15% versus, let's say, later on in retirement, if you were to pull the money out of your, let's say, you rolled the money into an IRA rollover, well, you could pay anywhere from 15% all the way up to 37% in income taxes. So basically what you're doing is converting something from ordinary income to capital gains.
Well, and that illustrates a really important point. Utilizing an NUA is important to consider if you have highly appreciated company stock in a tax-deferred plan like your 401k. But Jim, is this something that is common? I mean, how often do you tend to see clients do an NUA?
It used to be pretty common, Chris. We do this two or three times a year that we assist clients who are getting ready to retire when we're doing their retirement plan. It used to be a lot more common in the 2000s before we got to the problems with Enron. A lot of people listening may remember that Enron at one time, in fact, in 1999, it was on the front cover of Fortune magazine as one of the best run companies in America. Well, it turned out to be much of a fraud, but a lot of Enron employees invested all their 401k plan into Enron, which virtually went bankrupt. And so that's why you're seeing less of that. But, you know, there are a lot of blue chip companies, like, for example, Dow 30 stocks, that allow their employees to use the company stock in their plan. And why wouldn't you? And some of these plans, you know, whether it's Microsoft or IBM or an Exxon, there's been tremendous stock market growth. But it was a lot more common prior to the problems with Enron. And just think of those employees that have GE today, some of the problems that they are facing now.
Well, it's great to hear that people can still utilize this today. But Jim, if NUAs are not as common today, I mean, do you suppose many professionals are even aware of them? You just don't tend to hear it discussed very often.
No, usually most of the time when you're talking about 401k plans and retirement, you're really talking about most of the time rolling over your 401k plan into, let's say, an IRA rollover account, which is what most people do, because a lot of people don't have company stock in their 401k plan. But it's, for some reason, it's sort of a well-kept secret, and not too many advisors know about it, and quite honestly, not very many clients know about it. I've seen so many times when clients have rolled over their stock into an IRA when they could have avoided heavy taxation on their company stock and paid a capital gains rate instead of ordinary income.
Well, it's unfortunate that more people aren't made aware of these potential benefits of using an NUA. And I would think that given the current tax climate, that an NUA would be even more attractive today.
You know, Chris, you're absolutely correct on that. In fact, who wouldn't rather pay long-term capital gains rates instead of ordinary income taxes? Because right now, and especially beginning in 2018, where a lot of people, especially those that live in high tax states like our own state of California, it's not only state taxes that you're going to pay on distributions from your IRA, but as well as federal taxes. And remember, in 2018, a lot of you in high tax states have lost your itemized deductions like state taxes. You've lost or have a limit in terms of your property tax deductions and many others. So tax rates effectively are much higher for many individuals. But, you know, one reason that they're not used is, and we'll get into this as we talk about the 40th anniversary of 401k plans, is there are a lot of particulars that have to be in place to weigh these things work. If you don't do it right, you've got a gotcha tax, and so you want to avoid that.
Well, Jim, let's get into the nuts and bolts on this, because how NUAs work is really, really important since they're not talked about very often. So when an NUA is initiated, there are two different transactions that occur at the same time. The company stock is transferred out of the 401k. It's then placed in a taxable account, and then the remaining assets are transferred into another tax-deferred account like an IRA.
Yeah, it's very, very important the way this whole setup works. It's important to note that tax implications for completing an NUA, you just mentioned the other assets, and let's go to an example. Oh, let's say that you have $500,000 in a 401k plan, and half of that, $250,000, are in, let's say, the company stock. So with an NUA, it does trigger a taxable event when you transfer the stock to a taxable account. So in the example that I'm giving you, let's say you had $500,000 in your 401k, of which half of it is in company stock. You have two transactions. One transaction, you transfer the non-stock portion of your 401k to, let's say, an IRA rollover. There's no taxable event that's created when you do this. However, the $250,000 that you transfer in the company stock to a taxable account, it does trigger a taxable event. But let me tell you about the upside to this. Let's say that when you bought the company stock over the years in your 401k plan, let's say that your cost basis in the stock is $50,000, even though the stock value is $250,000. And here's the neat part in terms of how this works. You transfer the $250,000 to a taxable account. Your cost basis is 50. The only thing that you're going to pay taxes on is the $50,000 in your cost basis. Even though you transfer 250, you're only paying taxes on 50,000 as ordinary income. Now, the rest of it, when you go to sell it, is you're going to pay a long-term capital gain tax on the remaining balance. So you paid ordinary income taxes on 50, but the other $200,000 is taxed at a long-term capital gains rate of, let's say, 15%. So you can imagine the amount of tax savings you realize by doing an NUA.
Now, something for our listeners to keep in mind is that while an NUA is a great strategy, it's important to note that it does create taxes when those taxes could otherwise be delayed by just doing a rollover instead.
Yeah, in the example I just gave, Chris, the $50,000 that you would pay taxes on, had you just rolled over the stock along with the rest of your 401k, there would have been no taxable event at that time. But by rolling over the stock to a personal account, you do trigger a taxable event. That's why when you're completing an NUA, there are a lot of qualifications, and it should be done with a professional that has experience with them like we do. Because to complete an NUA, all assets, and here's a key, must be moved out of all accounts with the employer by the end of the year. In fact, I can think of a recent case. We waited to complete an NUA for a client last year because we were looking at starting the process in mid-November. So we basically said, you know, let's start this in 2018, because there was no way we could have got this done and completed towards the end of the year, because there's a lot of stuff going on with taxes, required minimum distributions. Companies have a lot of things that they have to do. So it's very, very important that you do this with a professional that has done it before, because you don't want to come up with a gotcha tax when it comes to filing your income tax return.
Well, I'm sure that client was happy that you knew about this, Jim, and were able to steer them clear of a potential hazard. And there are other potential pitfalls that our listeners should be aware of also. So let's talk about this.
Yeah, there's three in particular. Number one, the transfer must be in shares of the company's stock, not cash. In other words, you can't say, well, I'm going to sell the stock while it's in the 401k plan and just transfer the cash personally. That's not the way it works. It has to be a stock transfer. And that's what takes a little bit of time. And as I mentioned, Chris, the case that we had last year in November, we advised the client to wait to this year to do it because the company is going to have to issue a stock certificate to you to get it into a personal account so it can be registered as stock, not cash. The second thing is it could be subject to penalties if the person is not 59 and a half, because everybody's aware that if you take a distribution prior to age 59 and a half, there's an additional 10% penalty. So unless there needs to be a triggering event like separation of service, disability, or reaching 59 and a half. So there's a lot of what I call gotcha clauses that have to be followed for this thing to work and not trigger a taxable event more than, let's say, capital gains taxes.
Well, that's a lot to remember, Jim. And for our listeners, please keep in mind, with any complex transaction, please consult a tax and financial professional. And an important note is that you don't have to do all shares of employer stock when completing an NUA.
That's correct. Let's say in that example, let's say that you owned a 10,000 shares of company stock. It was worth $25 a share. You decide that you only want to transfer 5,000 shares in the NUA, and the rest you're going to transfer into an IRA where you're going to diversify. So that's one thing to keep into consideration. The great thing about an NUA is that it allows you to cherry pick which shares to use for the NUA, and that is in reference to the cost basis. So you can basically transfer the shares in the NUA, those shares that have the highest cost basis. And so what you're going to do is limit the amount of tax. So there are all kinds of things that you can do that allow you efficient tax planning. And where this is important, one of the biggest tax traps that you often see in retirement planning is all the assets are in the 401k or let's say pension plan. It's rolled over into an IRA. Well, anything coming out of an IRA, unless you, let's say, convert it to a Roth, is going to be taxed as ordinary income. And what we see happen so many times is by the time an individual reaches age 70 and a half, where they have to take out required minimum distributions, then all of a sudden now they're in a permanent high tax bracket. So a lot of times, if you do have company stock, splitting it up, your 401k plan between an NUA with your company stock and the other assets into a 401k is a way to make sure you keep yourself in a lower tax bracket and provide yourself with some flexibility. For example, let's say that down the road you turn age 70 and a half and you have to start taking out minimum distributions from your IRA. Maybe you sell the stock, pay the capital gains, and convert the proceeds into tax-free bonds so that when you begin to take distributions from your IRA, the personal income won't be as much or not as taxable because you will be in tax-free bonds, which will offset the taxable income coming out of your IRA. So there's a lot of planning flexibility that is allowed when you do this, because you don't want to get yourself caught in a tax trap.
Well, it really sounds like the tax savings potential really is amazing. But I want to make sure we don't leave any stone unturned here, Jim. Are there any other anecdotes or interesting clients that you've helped where our listeners can gain something from that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had a client who had $800,000 in employer stock with a very low cost basis. All shares were great for the NUA, but after looking at tax considerations, given the fact that her husband had a pension, had an IRA, they both had Social Security, we only took about $200,000 of the stock to keep their taxes manageable, because back then, in this particular case, that was back when tax rates were 39.6%. And, you know, living here in California, where the tax rates were at that time, they were 10.3%. They're now 13.3%. So there are times when you actually don't want to take all the stock out. Maybe you just do part of it.
Well, we've discussed many benefits, but there may be some reasons that you may not want to complete an NUA. And an NUA is best with employer stock with a low cost basis. But if the cost basis is close to or above the market price, would you agree, Jim, that under those circumstances, an NUA is not a good option?
No, you really want to do this. What you're looking for are capital gains savings. In the example that I gave of $250,000, where the cost basis was $50,000, the capital gains were $200,000. When you have gains that large in the stock, that's when NUAs can become really cost effective. And you're correct. There are reasons an NUA may not be right for anyone. Another consideration, of course, is taxes that we talked about, and it's important to make sure you're prepared to pay the additional stock. For example, let's say in the case I gave where the stock was worth $250,000, what if it was a good growth stock? Let's say it was Microsoft, or it was Google or Facebook or something like that, where there was tremendous growth potential and the stock that you took out was large. You want to make sure if you do that, you have sufficient funds to pay the tax, because once again, your cost basis and moving the stock to your personal account is going to trigger a taxable event. So you want to make sure that you have the money there to pay the taxes. It is a difficult transaction, so it's very important that you work with a professional, because you have to make sure you dot all your I's and cross your T's. You know, I've given you several examples here where we took a look at one case several years ago where it just didn't make sense to cash it all out into an NUA because it would have triggered too large of a tax. And the case of the couple last year, where it was at the end of November, there just wasn't enough time to start the completion process, so it would not have worked out. There's a situation that really needs to be assessed when you're doing your retirement plan, and that's why you really want to work with a professional to execute this, to make sure that you dot all the I's, cross the T's, you don't get caught with a gotcha tax, or you get caught with so much in taxes that you just simply don't have the funds and you end up selling at an inopportune time.
Well, Jim, we've discussed a few things where an NUA is not a good option. Under what circumstances would someone know if they're a good candidate for having an NUA?
Well, first thing that comes to mind is you have a highly appreciated stock. You know, think of you work at Microsoft or you work at Amazon or Google or Facebook, any of those stocks that have been the high flyers over this last bull market. Number two, you're in a high tax bracket. So if you're in a high tax bracket, what you don't want to do is stay in that high tax bracket the rest of your retirement. Number three, as I mentioned, when you transfer the stock to a personal account, you are going to trigger a taxable event. What you want to make sure of is you have the cash to pay the taxes. A fourth thing, you want to make sure that you're also well diversified, because if everything is in the company stock, well, you may not want to transfer all of it, because, you know, having everything tied up in one company stock, I mean, just think of what happened to GE right now, where that stock has lost almost 70% of its value. Or think of those employees that work for Enron or WorldCom or some of the other things where we had accounting scandals at the beginning of the last decade. The other factor you want to make sure of is that you are 59 and older and you don't trigger that extra 10% penalty on distribution prior to age 59 and a half.
And keep in mind for our listeners that the best way to retire is to maximize your assets, being able to potentially reduce taxes in retirement using what we've been discussing, the net unrealized appreciation. It may be an effective strategy to do so, but Jim, if a client did want to learn more about an NUA, how can they reach you?
You know, they can call us toll-free, Chris, at 888-486-3939 and talk to one of our qualified fiduciaries and financial certified financial planners who are familiar with how this works. Because like I said, there are a lot of I's and a lot of T's that need to be crossed. This has to be done properly. And also timing can be a very important factor, especially around this time of the year. Usually around this time of the year, don't recommend you do them because chances are that you can get it done in 30 days before the year ends to meet the deadline are not very good. So, you know, you're better off waiting to the beginning of the next year. So there are a lot of different things that have to be completed and done properly. Otherwise, this whole thing can backfire.
Now, Jim, before we conclude this particular podcast, I mentioned at the beginning of the show that it's the 40th anniversary of the 401k. So let's take a moment to give proper due to the 401k.
You know, Chris, the surprising thing is Congress really didn't think of the 401k. It was kind of a byproduct of a revenue act that was enacted in 1978. The section was marked 401k or 401, section 401 of the Internal Revenue Tax Code, which is hence where we got the name 401k. And the primary intention was to put more parameters around pre-tax contributions made to cash deferred plans. And quite honestly, the bill was less than 900 words. Congress inadvertently created what is now a major part of the backbone of retirement in America. So this wasn't done intentionally, but that's the way it evolved. And it really got started with, he's called sort of the father of 401k plans, a guy by the name of Ted Benna. He was basically a client benefit consultant. And he started looking, reading into the tax code, and he said, hey, there's an option here to do something like this with employee contributions to a plan that would be tax deferred and not be taxable to the client or the employee. And he proposed it to several companies. The irony of this, he proposed the idea to Bethlehem Steel. And Bethlehem Steel said, that's crazy. We take care of our employees. Well, guess what? The company went bankrupt. And the pension guarantee had to bail out the pension plan. But anyway, what he did is he set up a 401k plan for his own company, of which he was a partner. And then what happened eventually, Wall Street and big firms like Vanguard and Fidelity and BlackRock caught on to the 401k market. And of course, BlackRock and let's say the Fidelity and let's say Vanguard, which are the biggest mutual fund companies today around, they wouldn't be half their size today if it wasn't for the 401k plan. Now, here's the thing that you might have been surprised when they originally were put in place. You only had two options. You had a fixed income option, which was a guaranteed investment contract, and then you had one stock market option. And you could split it 50-50 or 75 in guarantee, 25 in stock. And the fees on these plans were next to nothing. They were less than 0.1% compared to where they are today. The other thing about these plans that would surprise you is the contributions used to be a lot higher. For example, when they first went into effect, you'll love this, the contribution limit was $45,475. Then they lowered it in 1982 with the tax bill that was passed that year. They dropped it from $45,000 down to $30,000 and then down to $7,000 in 1986 with another tax reform bill. This year, currently, it is $18,500. It's due to go up to $19,000 next year. And the thing about it, Chris, is they've gotten not only more popular, but 401k plans have gotten more complex. There's a lot more options. And unfortunately, the onus of managing the money is left to employees. And we've seen so many things that have not gone well for employees managing their own 401k plans. They picked the wrong funds, or basically they put it on automatic pilot. So they went through the major downturns, let's say in the year 2000 or in between 2007 and 2009. The investment choices are left to the employee. And this is one area where you run into a lot of problems. And another problem area that you run into is in sometimes, just as we just talked about NUAs rolling over the stock, in many cases, the individual couple may not have enough saved up in their 401k to live very well in retirement. They may be better off annuitizing their 401k instead of rolling it over into an IRA. So there are a lot more nuances to 401ks today. They're a lot more complex. The fees have gone up because of complexity. And one of the biggest tragedies we see is they're not managed properly. We see individuals roll over the company stock into a 401k plan, making it taxable instead of long-term capital gains taxes, as we've discussed in today's program, or simply they have not managed the assets very well. But it is the 40th anniversary of the 401k plan. And once again, this started as an afterthought. Congress was not really thinking of the 401k as they exist today when they put that plan in effect in 1978.
Well, on behalf of Jim Poplava and myself, we do hope that you enjoyed today's show about 401ks and the NUA. And as always, we do thank you for listening.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.